here today to bid our farewells to Courtney Clem. Mazel about the lease. The children, Eddie, Delia, Morris, the grandchildren, done literally everything that they can for their mother for years, and truly fulfilled, as we spoke about last night, in Tzav Kibbutz Abbeim, honoring one's mother and father. The mitzvah, the commandment to honor parents, involves what otherwise seem mundane actions, like taking them shopping, clothing them, assisting them with their medical needs, and the like. All those actions, all those activities, are mitzvot, are commandments, fulfillment of commandments that are registered in God's Book of Life. Over the years, Hedy, Dalia, and Morris have gone above and beyond. Courtney was predeceased by her husband, Mordechai Marco Levy, in 1991, and more recently by her young daughter, Elise. Courtney's passing leaves a void in the family that will never be filled. To Victor, we know how sad you are today, and how much the loss of Courtney affects you as well. We offer condolences to you on the very sad week you had this week, both of the loss of Courtney and of your dear brother, Orville, who we love very much. I look forward to spending time with you next week to discuss and to reflect and to spend time supporting you. Listening to the story of Courtney was like listening to a condensed version of Jewish history. And the personal qualities that she exhibited during her life read like a handbook of what it means to be a fully committed Jewish woman, wife, mother, and grandmother. Throughout the generations, when the Jewish people, just when they thought that they found their home in their respective countries of exile, they are unceremoniously shown the exit by their erstwhile gracious hosts. When the wicked Memuel of Nasser came to power, the Levy family was given a whole 3 days to leave Egypt. And that situation, that story about the 3 days and the exodus from Egypt, conjured up for a lot of us very familiar concepts. The first thing that came to mind is that when Moses came to Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go," he asked Pharaoh to give him a 3-day holiday in the desert for the Jewish people to go worship God in the desert, 3 days. And that time, Pharaoh was so intransigent that he was intent on holding on to the Jewish people and not allowing them to go, holding on to them for 3 days instead of giving them 3 days to leave. Later, in response to the plagues that were rained down on Egypt, as the book of Exodus tells, Pharaoh forces the Jews out. And it's only through the splitting of the sea that the Jews are saved, when once again the same fickle king decides to chase after them to hold on to them as slaves. So Egypt, Exodus from Egypt, 3 days. Courtney, Marco, and the children had their own exodus from Egypt. Stripped of all their belongings and robbed of the impressive wealth they built in the glass business in Egypt, the Levy family pressed on. This is also sort of ironic, because when the Jews left Egypt, they went to their neighbors. They were told to go to their neighbors and ask them for their silver and their gold. Many commentators say they owed it to the Jews, who were there for hundreds of years as slaves working for nothing. So the neighbors had to contribute a parting gift to the Jewish people. Instead of getting a parting gift, instead of getting jewels and silver and gold, all their possessions were taken away from them, except for, I think you said, $100 per person. And even a leather suitcase that Marco had hoped to resell in America was slashed and gashed by the authorities as they were looking for wealth that he might have put inside his suitcases as they left Egypt. The family pressed on. And even though they didn't leave with what the Torah calls a rechush gadol, great wealth, in physical sense, they left with rechush gadol, great wealth, in the spiritual and personal sense. And I'm talking about the way that they responded to that birush, that expulsion from Egypt. Do you know that 850,000 Sephardic Jews were expelled from Arab countries when founding the state of Israel? 850,000 Jews were expelled from Arab countries. This was, of course, a little bit later. But the family pressed on, and they rehabilitated themselves. In Italy, and prior to that in France, where Marco landed a job with one of his former suppliers. And fortunately, he was able to take that awkward situation, that sense of displacement, and use her European experience to learn the culinary arts of her host countries at the time. And that's why Dalia says that she knew how to cook Italian, French, Egyptian food, because instead of wallowing in self-pity and saying, you know, woe is me, I've been expelled from my country, Fortuné saw it as an opportunity to develop herself, to reach her potential. And this eventually would parlay into a role as, I guess what would be called the head chef at Council House in Seattle. It began as a stint of cooking kosher meals for about 8 or 9 residents of Council House, and eventually the word got out that she was such an excellent cook that people abandoned the main cafeteria and came into her small room where she, with minimal appliances, prepared food for a growing number of people to the point where she became the main cook. As part of her dedication to the cause of feeding the elderly, she went shopping and literally bundled the groceries on the bus to Council House by herself until accommodations were made. She turned misfortune and difficulty into a can-do and good-natured approach towards serving others. You know, one of the themes that comes out in the Book of Shemot, the Book of Exodus that we're currently reading in the synagogue on Shabbat, is a fundamental distinction between the Jewish approach towards life and the Egyptian approach of life as it was in the ancient Near East. And that is that the Book of Exodus opened up last week and it said, a new king arose over Egypt and did not know Joseph. And we know Joseph contributed to the complete salvation of Egypt by allowing for the storage of food during the period of plenty, so it could be used in the period of famine. So how could it be that a new king arose over Egypt and did not know Joseph? They wouldn't have learned about it in their history books. They didn't get it, that some of the importance of the Israelites saved the entire country. So one of our commentators says, he knew about it, but he made as if he didn't know about it. He showed ingratitude. And Moshe, is the complete opposite of that. When he comes to deliver the plagues to the Egyptians, the Midrash says that he was not allowed to smite the water or the dust to bring about the plagues of blood, frogs, and eventually lice. Because the water had floated him to safety when he was just an infant in that basket, and the dust helped him cover the Egyptian that he had killed who was about to murder the Jew. So he couldn't smite the water and the dust by himself. So you can't imagine it, you know, why was he doing that? So the Midrash says he was showing gratitude to the water and the dust. I don't know if the water itself, the particles of water, the molecules, had a conference and decided to sit float Moshe to safety, or if the dust willingly participated in covering the dead Egyptian. But it doesn't really matter, because he wasn't expressing gratitude to inanimate objects, he's expressing gratitude to God. And Moses, therefore, becomes the paradigm of gratitude. And the exodus from Egypt is an exodus from a country that had no sense of that gratitude. And Fortuné was able to, in her life, take all the ups and downs that she experienced, including what we talked about in the personal tragedy of losing her daughter, losing her husband, and turn that into a strong response that continued consistently to bring about aid and assistance to other people and care for others. So she may not have left the Refush Gadol in a monetary sense, but she left with great personal qualities and attributes that served her and did stay for her entire life. And one story that we heard from Dalia that I was going to mention, well, this is worth mentioning again, that when she got poked with the various needles and these insulin shots, she thanked the doctors and the nurses. Because even when you're at your lowest, physically and spiritually, you're makir tov, you show gratitude to those who are trying to help you. And this is an example for us. When you look at back at a person's life, you try to understand what you can learn, how their life is a textbook for you to learn how to live your own life. She was a woman who said little, but did a lot, and she'll be sorely missed. That's what's called the Chazana for the Tziduk HaDin, justification of the divine decree, followed by the pallbearers went out of the chapel with us, and then the family falling behind towards the gate.